Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I know what he wants, and I've told you guys 100 times, I'm just trying to do exactly what he wants, you know, every single time. And I don't do it perfect every time, but that fine line of, you know, if he expects the ball to go there, then now he expects the receiver to make that play or win, you know. And like he'll say, you know, if he can't win, we'll find another guy that can. You know, if you can't throw it there, we'll find another guy that can throw it there. You know, that's just how coach coaches.
Of Raiders quarterback Derek Carr speaking to the media for the first time during training camp out at Henderson, where I just got back to the studio from. A long day of work, but we love it. First official practice is in the book for your 2021 Raiders. It was a spirited practice, without question. And it's always interesting. It's almost a shock to the system when you watch a training camp practice after the last image that you had of the team that you cover was OTAs. And nothing against OTAs. There's a lot of value in OTAs. I think every player on that Raider team will talk to you about that and affirm that, including John Gruden, the coach. But the pace of an OTA practice, especially this year, where there were some negotiations going on between coaches and players to scale back a little bit on it, you could see and feel and sense the different pace today as the Raiders opened training camp compared to just a couple of months ago, a month or so ago, when they wrapped up OTAs. It's night and day, and that is a good thing. And it's just going to continue to ramp up. You know, there's sort of light posts along the way, or you know, when you're putting together a season and going through a season, there's signposts, I should say, up ahead, as Rod Serling would say in the Twilight Zone, that you're looking forward to. The next, you know, the Raiders are going to get this week of practices in. Soon they're going to get into full pads. That will jack it up even more. But today, for a first day, it was a good day for the Raiders. Saw a lot to like about this 2021 Raiders team. I was really focused on the defense and watching who was lining up where, who was lining up with the first team, who was lining up with the second team. Got some interesting thoughts on that. I tweeted about this, how much deeper and more talented the defensive line looks with the addition of Yannick Ngakoue. And don't forget, it's not just Ngakoue, and he will be, or is expected to be, a difference maker, bringing a different dynamic that the Raiders have not had the last couple of years. But it's also Solomon Thomas. It's also Quinton Jefferson. It's also Darius Filon, Matt Dickerson, who got some run today. Malcolm Kuntz, who they drafted from the University of Buffalo, who has definitely opened up some eyes. All of a sudden, you start counting that up along with Clee Farrell, Max Crosby, Jonathan Hankins, the holdovers that they've brought back from last year, Carl Nassib. Now you're starting to think about 9-10 guys that can legitimately play in the NFL, have played in the NFL, have produced in the NFL. I can't remember, at least in the time that I've covered the Raiders, where you can go that deep. And then you start thinking about the fact that some guys are going to get cut just simply because of a numbers game, that are pretty darn good football players. And when's the last time you could really say that, especially about that Raiders defense? I think you're going to see a defense that is just deeper, more talented, probably coached up a little bit better, getting a chance to talk to Max Crosby today about new defensive coordinator Gus Bradley and what he brings to the table, the teaching, the passion. Everyone that talks about Gus Bradley, and this goes back a long way for the new Raiders defensive coordinator, the passion that people talk about. I talked to other reporters that have covered him over the years, and like, you know, even as a reporter talking to the dude, you kind of want to just throw the the laptop to the side and just go run through a wall for him, just because he's so fired up. It gets you fired up, even as a reporter, and that's a good thing. There's people that are just, they bring that kind of an energy, and everyone that I've talked to with the Raiders, specifically the players that are now playing for Gus Bradley, talk about that very thing. The passion that he brings, the energy that he brings, that's infectious, and it rubs off on players. And the earnestness in the way he does that, it's real. You know, some guys fake it. Some guys, you can tell that it's not really who they are. They're trying to do it for effect, do something for effect, and you can read right through it, and that's when guys typically tune out. When somebody's coming at them in a fake way, with Gus Bradley, it's anything but. He lives his life in a high energy type way, and that realness comes through, and is definitely something that players pick up on and appreciate and start emulating as well. And talking about Max Crosby, and this is something that I picked up on. I asked him about it after practice today, was you cannot not hear Max Crosby on the practice field this year. And this goes back all the way to OTAs. I picked up on it during OTAs. When individual position groups, and he's along the defensive line, they go work separately. Every position group, picks a part of the field where they gather together and go through their individual workout. And then, pretty soon everybody kind of comes together in an 11-on-11 situation, full defense, full offense. But when you stand over by the defensive line and you watch the guys go through their various drills, whether it's against each other, whether it's against the bag, the blocking sled, there's a whole slew of things that you do to work on with fundamentals. And it's taxing. Once you do your rep, which is usually about 5 reps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then it's on to the next guy, and you're huffing and puffing going over there to rest up while the 6 or 7 other guys complete their reps. Well, there's no huffing and puffing or tuning out in terms of Max Crosby. As soon as he's finished with his reps, he stands there in the group and urges on the next guy and the guy after that and the guy after that. He's very enthusiastic. He's very encouraging, passionate. And it's something that, again, I picked up on during OTAs last year, or a couple of months ago, and I just asked him, hey, is that something that's you're growing comfortable in being? A lot of times as a young player, especially in his situation, he was a 4th-round pick out of Eastern Michigan. He's just kind of quietly trying to go about his business, not step on too many toes as a young player, because there's veterans that you don't want to try to supersede right off the bat, or try to force it, or try to take their juice, try to take their leadership responsibility. So you're kind of seen but not seen or heard. And, in his case, that's all over with. And I asked him why or if that is something that is new to his repertoire, is new to what he's doing. And here's what Max Crosby had to say about that.
I'm going into year 3. For me personally, I'm sick of waiting. I just want to be the full version of Max Crosby that I envision myself being. So just being a leader, I think that's a role that I feel natural at. I feel, I can be a positive influence, just like talking about Coach Bradley, being a positive leader, being a ball of energy at all times. That's what I want to be, and I want to help, lead the guys. So I don't care about having the title, all right, Max is leader, whatever. Like, I'm just being myself and having fun when I'm out there.
That's Max Crosby speaking today over at the practice facility in Henderson, and talking about how, he's kind of evolving into that leader. Doesn't want to be designated a leader. It's not that important to him in terms of the recognition by anybody else. It's just something that he organically and naturally wants to ascend to. And did you pick up what he said right after, the very first part of that answer? He's like, I'm just sick and tired of waiting around. And I think what he, or just waiting. And, I think what he meant was kind of tired of waiting for his time to come in terms of the leadership part of it. But also, and this is something that I've gotten from a lot of players that I've talked to, they're just sick and tired, especially on defense. They're sick and tired of the results or the lack of results. They're sick and tired of the criticism. They're sick and tired. You know, I asked Max about how deep that defensive line room is this year. Do we have that sound for Max talking about the new group, the new position group that he's in, where, you know, you've got Quentin Jefferson, you've got Yannick Ngakoue and Cleve Farrell and, you know, Carl Nassib and Darius Filon. It's just much deeper than it has been in the past. And while acknowledging it, and just listen to what he said about the potential of this group.
The new guys, it's easy to become, you know, grow relationships with guys who are willing, you know, to come into a new, you know, a new environment, new organization, and be nothing but good energy all the time. You know, Yannick, Solomon, Q, all those guys, they're ready to prove, you know, what they can do. They've all had success in this league, but we all want to do it together and be the best. So at the end of the day, you know, we have to do it together. 4 = 1 at all times. So, you know, I think that's something, you know, as far as talking about leadership and things like that, like, I want to build those real relationships off the field, and that translates to the field at the end of the day. So
that's Max Crosby. Sorry about that. That wasn't, you know, the clip that we were talking about, although he had some great things to say there about his new teammates and about how they're coming in here kind of humble. You know, they know what they can do. They've been it. They've done that, been there, done that, all of that. But they're not trying to be forceful about that. They're just trying to come in and blend in and do the best that they can as Raiders, coming from where they've come from. And a couple of these guys have come from some pretty high, you know, places. But what I was talking about was, you know, when you look at this defensive line group this year, and I can eyeball it. I just feel it. I sense it. You can recognize it. It's just a better group. There's more talent. There's more bodies, that able bodies. You know, it's not just running people out there. You could sign 9 guys and have 9 guys in a position group, and if none of them are any good, what's the point? But when you look at what they brought in along with what they're retaining, you can see that there's talent there. There's players that are going to be able to produce, and a lot of them. And, you know, just talking to Max Crosby about that, about how he feels about that position group, and he's pretty fired up about it. And he said, you know, we have the potential to be really good. But he stopped himself and said, but I'm sick and tired of that word potential. I hear it every year, you know, and he didn't elaborate, but basically what he was saying, it's time to turn that potential into reality. The Raiders have been, the last couple of years, been talking about, oh, we got this guy, we drafted that guy, you know, signed Corey Littleton, signed Nick Kwiatkowski, drafted, you know, Damon Arnett, drafted Jonathan Abram, drafted Cleve Farrell, Max Crosby. There's name factor there. There's draft capital there. There's free agency capital there. It all looks pretty good on paper, and it has. It looked pretty decent on paper last year when you think about, oh, going and getting the best linebacker on the free agent market in Corey Littleton. Yeah, the Raiders signed up for that, and that was supposed to be a difference-making type of a move. They went out and got Nick Kwiatkowski, who got a chance to start in 2019 down the stretch, ran with it, and became somebody that a lot of teams were interested in signing. The Raiders were able to reel him in. It was kind of a coup, and you start thinking about what he can bring to the table, and you know, Cleve Farrell being a year better, and Max Crosby being a year better, and Damon Arnett, the 19th pick in the draft last year from Ohio State, and you start looking at it and thinking, well, this defense has a chance to be much better than it did in 2019, and it should have, but it didn't. And that's the part that guys like Max Crosby and Cleve Farrell and what they've been talking about is, it's enough with the talk, enough of the potential, enough of, you know, what looks really good on paper. It's time to get it turned around in a serious way on the field. And it's, to me, the key to the season. We could talk all what we want about the offense, and we obviously will. We could talk about Henry Ruggs, and we're going to. Had some interesting you know, comments from the young wide receiver from Alabama. We could talk all about Derek Carr. We always do. He's the quarterback, the face of the franchise. We could talk about Darren Waller, what he brings to the table. Josh Jacobs coming back from, you know, 2 straight 1,000-yard rushing seasons. It's the first time that's happened in franchise history since a guy by the name of Marcus Allen. We could talk about this young rebuild well-built offensive line, and there's no question that group is going to have a big say in this offense. I think that they'll be adequate. I think they'll be fine. I don't think that this offense is going to take any kind of a major step back from last year. In fact, I think they can build and grow from what they did last year. The fact of the matter is the story of the 2021 Raiders season is on defense, and they're at a point, you don't think that Clee Farrell and Max Crosby and Corey Littleton and Jonathan Abram and Damon Arnett and on and so on and so forth, you don't think that they've heard all the criticism? You don't think that they go on social media and see guys, people, fans dogging them out a little bit? You don't think that they understand that there were three games and we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, that they literally blew at the end of the game by not being able to hold on to leads, that were the difference between the Raiders being an 8-win team and 11-win team? That's the fact of the matter. You could talk about, well, the Raiders could have been better in the red zone and offensively score more touchdowns. Yeah, they could have. They also scored the 10th most points in the NFL. The nine teams that were just ahead of them all made the playoffs. The Raiders scored enough points to make the playoffs. I can't stress that enough. The defense let them down many, many, many times in multiple ways, in all sorts of forms and fashions, and three times decidedly in dramatic fashion, giving up those leads that they did at the tail end of a game. A minute and 43 left against the Chiefs, 19 seconds left against the Miami. Put it this way. I run into Paul, the Sports Illustrated, Peter King was out at Raiders practice today. I hear, hey, Vinny, hey, Pete. So we're talking, and we're talking about last year. And from afar, and Peter King covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated on a national basis, and the perception that he had is like, man, they were close. They were pretty close when you think about it. I'm like, yeah, they were pretty close. They still had deficiencies that they needed to work on and that they were putting off to this offseason. But they nevertheless, even as bad as they were on defense – throughout the course of the year, they still were in position to win three more games, like great position to win three more games, but something bad happened at the end of those three games that prevented it from happening, and it was all on the defense. I don't care what you say about the offense. Yes, they could have scored a touchdown there. Yes, they could have added to the lead there. No question about it, but the point is when your offense leaves the field at home that late in games, with the lead, you should have every expectation that your defense can make the play to seal the win. That's the way it should work. The offense, Derek Carr, John Gruden, should have every confidence. Yes, obviously things can sometimes happen. No question about it. The other team's pretty darn good too. As Lincoln Kennedy says, they get paid as well. So sometimes teams are going to come back on you in dramatic fashion, but it can't happen three times the way it happened to the Raiders last year. It just can't happen. Now, at the end of the day, that Raider defense last year just wasn't ready to be that kind of a team. They weren't ready to be relied on in those type of situations. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. Sometimes luck plays a little bit, fortune, good fortune, bad fortune, whatever the case might be. But it ultimately comes down to what Magic Johnson used to always say during the Showtime Laker era. It's winning time. Late in the fourth quarter, it's a close game. How many people say, always talk about how the NBA comes down to what? The last minute, the last 30 seconds of a game. You don't have to watch the whole NBA. You don't have to watch the whole game. Just tune in for the last minute. You'll see everything that you need to say. That's winning time. Some teams rise to that challenge. Some teams don't. And the good news for the Raiders, I can say this, is that in those situations, the offense always rose to the challenge for the most part. There's a reason why they left the field late in those games after taking the lead. And it wasn't just they were preserving those leads. Derek Carr, and in the Chargers game, Marcus Mariota, drove the offense down the field to take the lead. Remember, the Kansas City Chiefs were winning that game. The Miami Dolphins, were winning that game. It was Derek Carr and the offense that went down the field and scored the necessary points to go up, leaving the field, telling the defense, hey, just go get a play. Just go make a play, and let's walk out of here with the win. They weren't able to do it. They just weren't mature enough, good enough, whatever the case might be. You don't think that Corey Littleton and Max Crosby and Cleve Farrell and Nick Kwiatkowski and Jonathan Hankins and Jonathan Abram and Damon Arnette and Trayvon Mullen, you don't think that they didn't hear that the entire offseason? You don't think that that's still ringing in their ears? It is. And they're sick of it. They know it. That's the thing. Not that they agree necessarily with the presentation that some people lay it out there in the way that some people lay it out there. They don't suck. They're not talented. There is talent there. There is promise there. They believe in themselves in that regard. But they share your frustration of not being able to make the play when they needed to make the play. And they're sick and tired of it. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that they're expressing that. And by the way, when we come back, you're going to hear from Derek Carr, who, as much as he's focused on leading that offense, he's noticing something about that defense. And it could end up being the difference between a successful season and another season of disappointment. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and Bahadur.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. You're in the huddle. It's a Wednesday. The Raiders' first day of practice is in the books. We're talking about it. First impressions. Really intrigued by this defense. I'm just throwing it out there. Extremely intrigued by this defense. It looked faster. It looks bigger. It looks better. That's just the bottom line. And, you know, looking at that, and I really keyed in on that defensive line today. And first impressions in terms of the starters, it looked like Yannick Ngakoue at one end, Max Crosby at the other, Quentin Jefferson and Jonathan Hankins inside. And then there was a second unit, which primarily consisted of Carl Nassib, Cleve Farrell, Solomon Thomas, and either Darius Filon or Matt Dickerson inside. So you start thinking about that. That's eight pretty decent football players, and in some cases really good football players in terms of a rotation. And that's not even getting into Malcolm Kuntz, who has definitely caught the eye of Raider coaches, the Raider coaching staff, and his teammates. Now, obviously, he's just got to keep building on that in training camp to kind of carve out a role for himself. But when you're talking about a rotation, the kind that the Raiders seemingly have, and the versatility of that rotation, being able to kick Cleve Farrell inside on known passing situations and utilize, you know, is he a down in and down out defensive tackle? No. He's a defensive end. I think that's where he profiles. But on passing situations, he's a guy that you can kick inside with maybe Max Crosby off of his hip, or Yannick Ngakoue, depending on which side he lines up on, to kind of maximize that Raiders pass rush. And we all know that it's critical. We're at DEFCON 1 right now in terms of need and urgency for the Raiders to start getting a better pass rush. It all starts there. It was non-existent for the most part last year. There was no disruptive force. There was no dynamic that put the fear of you-know-what into opposing quarterbacks too many times. You saw quarterbacks just stand there, going through their progressions without any concern whatsoever, and picking the Raiders' defensive secondary apart. I don't think that that's going to be the case this year. I think that that's going to change. I think Ngakoue is going to change that. I think Max Crosby, who just looks to be in tremendous shape, is going to change that. I think Cleve Farrell in his role, Malcolm Kuntz, Carl Nassib, what they're going to get in the inside from the Solomon Thomas and Darius Filon and Quentin Jefferson, I think it's going to look different. It's going to be different. It's going to be much more disruptive. It has to be. Let's just bottom line it. If it isn't, the Raiders are in trouble. Again, if it is, it changes everything about that defense. And want your thoughts, 702-365-9200. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line and talk to
Mitch in New Jersey.
Mitch in New Jersey. That's right. I just had a brain freeze. Sorry about that, Mitch. Mitch, how you doing, brother?
Oh, not a problem. How you doing? Glad you had a good vacation.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
But are you really? You really mean that?
Of course.
I heard you over in the other station. You sounded great. And you really warmed that. I guess that was your appetizer.
The other station, by the way, is in Los Angeles. I still do some work in Los Angeles with Fred. And today it was Rodney, Pete, and my old friend George Reister, former Oregon Duck.
Was he basketball or football? I forgot.
George Reister was known for football. He went to the University of Oregon, played for the Jacksonville Jaguars for a good 8-9 years or so. But when I covered him in high school, he wasn't just a football player, but he was a basketball player. And I kidded with him today on air because people forget about this. But he played in the same area that Gilbert Arenas played in the San Fernando Valley. And he literally locked down Gilbert. Now, when I say locked down, Gilbert had like 28 points or so. But he was coming off three straight games where he had scored 50 or more points. So to hold him to 27 was pretty darn good. And George Reister, who was a great athlete in his own right, and a football player, and he put some football tactics on him without question and was able to slow him down a little bit.
I live in Tarzana age, but I guess it's a little before everybody's time here, it seems. it's just great athletes out there. I wonder if I'm hoping to see more dual sports plays. Well, I'm glad you're back. Before I get to my Raiders point, I'm all happy to see this when you had Kansas City and the Rams with those yellow jerseys, and I hope they went back to the old. I know they got the new ones. I hope they threw them out and those yellow pajamas. That's what they look like. You know, the orange cheese jerseys. I like to see high-scoring games. I think our offense is going to be great. Defense lines will be good, too. I'm looking forward to Solomon. What's the guy's last name? I'm sorry.
Thomas. Solomon Thomas.
Solomon Thomas. Farrell. I think Claire Farrell, but I think of the actor Farrell. Pretty funny in his own right. And I know I can't say his name again. I think that the quarterback's not going to have enough time. I think we're going to be in top five in sacks. And there's one more thing I wanted to say, and of course, it slips my mind, but that's my own fault.
Well, if they are top five in sacks, the Raiders are going to the playoffs. I'm just going to say that. So we'll see if they can get to that level. That's pretty high. A long road to trek considering where they're starting from. I think they'll take top 15 without a doubt. But as long as they could be disruptive, as long as they could be difference makers, it's going to change the dynamic of the team. But as Max Crosby talked about today, tired of talking about it. It's time to happen. Potential, we could talk about that all day, every year. It's just that potential. At some point, you got to prove it on the field. And I think Max Crosby is sick and tired, as a lot of those defensive players are, about just talking about it. They want to go out there and actually do it. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Really appreciate it. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in a good friend of mine who I just spent like the entire morning and afternoon with, Paul Gutierrez from ESPN. He covers the Raiders for ESPN and does a fantastic job. Paul, first of all, thanks for spending some time with us in the huddle. Really appreciate it. We just spent a day watching the Raiders for the first time. Off the cuff, what are your first impressions of what you saw from the 2021 Raiders?
Yeah, Vinny, thanks for having me. And it was good. It felt more like we survived those 2 hours.
Yes.
In that heat. Then kind of thrived in it, so to speak. But you know what's interesting to me is, obviously I want to take a look at the defensive line and see what those guys look like, but I'll probably peel back a little bit until they actually put pads on and start hitting, because at the same time you got a rebuilt offensive line and they're gonna, be going against each other there, and you'll kind of see whether iron sharpens iron or if they both just kind of crumble into each other. What was intriguing to me today was watching Nicholas Morrow all over the place in different spots in the lineup. I looked up at one point and they had what looked like the starters and the second team unit guys rotating in and out against the offense over on the left side of the field. And then over on the right side of the field, they had kind of the backup guys that probably aren't going to make the team. Over on that right side was Nick Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Over on the left was Nick Morrow at middle linebacker. That's why I asked him. I'm like, He prides himself as a versatile linebacker, but are you really going to be a 5'10", 200-pound middle linebacker? I mean, is that how diverse this defense is? And he just kind of, you were there. He smiled and said, "I just consider myself a versatile player.
Right.
Whatever they want me to do, I'll do." I'm like,
Okay, yeah, you've been in the game long enough now to start talking in nuclear luge cliches, so good for you.
Yeah, and I was wondering about that as well, because I'm thinking, all right, are they just dummying it up a little bit because we were out there and you don't want to give everything away on the first day especially, or was there some meaning behind that? And it's, I generally fall on, there's usually some meaning behind all this. So I'm not quite sure why Nick was over with basically the red shirt freshman, the scout teams over there. And I was keeping an eye on, you know, what was happening in front of us with the quote unquote, you know, seniors, first team, second team players. Morrow was all over the, field. You know, he's a guy that definitely made his mark last year. He had a kind of a career year, building off what he's been building here these last 3 years. And he could be on that verge of kind of turning that corner into being a guy that you could rely on for the next few years. That seems to be where he might be headed. And here in John Gruden, it sounds like John Gruden loves the guy as well.
Yeah. And, you know, interesting, you know, you and I have similar upbringings in journalism, you know, kind of cutting our teeth in L.A., right?
Yep.
And one of the guys that I'm sure we both read growing up was Jim Murray from the L.A. Times. And when I was in college, I had the opportunity to interview Jim Murray, and I asked him if it was ever hard for him to not find himself rooting in a game. You know, because, you know, we don't cheer in the press box, right? We don't cheer for things. And this still sticks in my head now, almost 30 years later. He told me, no, it's not hard to not root for a player. He's always rooting for an angle.
Yes.
Always rooting for a story.
Yes.
And with Nick Morrow, that's a hell of a story. This is a guy who even Gruden said yesterday, brought him up on his own, and then said, I don't even know where he went to college. You know, Division III. And it's Greenville? Is it Greenville College, I believe, is where he went? But I always think of Forrest Gump, Greenville, Alabama. But that's not where he went. It's just, there's so many cool things about what Nicholas Morrow has been able to do, because he was just basically a walk-on, right? And he makes the team as a undrafted guy out of a Division III school. They got him running every position at linebacker, and just so versatile enough that he can make things happen. And you know, with Gus Bradley's defenses, they're so diverse, so versatile. And, you know, the more things you can do, the more the defense is going to be able to excel. And you saw that, again, not trying to compare, but you saw that with the Legion of Boom, where those guys could play multiple positions and excel. And with him, it's just a great, great story. And again, a long answer to your short question to get Jim Murray's name in the conversation, but that's kind of where I went with that one.
And we're talking about the Greenville University. I want to say it's the Illinois one, right? Or somewhere.
Is it Carolina? Or Alabama?
I don't know. I'm looking at that right now.
John, where he went to school.
Yeah, I always thought it was Greenville, South Carolina, but it might be a totally other Greenville. So we're gonna look that up. But it shows you the kind of the obscure nature in the way that he's, you know, arrived where he's arrived at. So you're right. It's there is a fine line between rooting for people sometimes and stories, and sometimes they're kind of interchangeable. But there's no question that a Nicholas Morrow is somebody that angle is something that you kind of like to see it work out, because it makes for a great story and an inspiring story too. There's a bunch of Division III players that are trying to get where he is right now. It's not going to work out for many of them, but there's Nicholas Morrow's at that level in any given year. So if he can be an inspiration and we can be play some sort of a role in telling that inspirational story, all the better. Another story that I think has a chance to be a really good story this year as well is Max Crosby. We know that there were some, you know, off-field changes that he made in his life. Don't want to get too far into the weeds on that, but he straightened up basically and changed some habits for the better. And I look at him, he looks to be in great shape. He's always been in great shape, but he looks like he's even in better shape now. He's real vocal during practices. And as of right now, I mean, you were charting the same thing that I was. But when the first team defensive line was out there, it was he and Yannick Ngakoue as the defensive ends, with Cleve Farrell and Carl Nassib as the backup defensive ends. Are you surprised at all that was what it looked like the first day? Not to say that that's what it's going to be, you know, when the Raiders open the season against the Baltimore Ravens. But for now, anyway, it looks like the two defensive ends are going to be Ngakoue and Max Crosby.
And if those are your two best options, they should be out there, regardless of draft slots, right? And that's what John
has been talking about for years now. I don't care where you were drafted, if you're undrafted or wherever, if you can play, you can be on this team. It does kind of sting a little bit that a day three pick like Max Crosby is probably going to start over a number four overall pick in Cleveland Furl, but they can handle that. That'll all come out in the wash when it's time to renegotiate these guys because they're in the same draft class, right, with their contracts.
Yeah.
But it makes all the sense in the world there. And really, I guess if you were to look at, you know, let's pick some nits regarding Max Crosby's game. And I guess you could say, well, he's not that strong against the run. Okay. If you got Ngakoue on the other side, he's going to command double teams. That's going to free him up to do some things as well, freelance a little bit more. Cleve Earl is a better run defender than he is a pass rusher from the edge, at least through their first 2 years together. So it's just a matter, and, you know, I think Gus Bradley kind of let us look behind the curtain a little bit during minicamp when he said, for the defense in general, the secondary in particular, but the defense in general, it's a race to maturity. And trying to figure out, especially on those front lines, he wants waves of guys to come in so that it almost doesn't matter who's starting. It's who's on the field at critical times. And that's going to be hard for somebody that wants to start to hear, but that's going to be part of the messaging that's going to have to be not only imparted, but also received.
By the way, Greenville, Illinois.
Illinois, you're right.
It was Greenville, Illinois. I don't know. I think it's because I looked that up because I was like, oh, Greenville, South Carolina. I've been there. And then I was like, wait, Greenville, Illinois. So, yeah, only adds to the obscure nature that Nicholas Morrow rose up from to land his spot with the Raiders. But I want to stick on that defensive line because you're right, coming at waves. And when we looked at the defensive line today, you know, after it was Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Jonathan Hankins, Quinton Jefferson on what we think is the first team defensive line. But then right behind them was Cleve Farrell, Carl Nassib, Solomon Thomas, and Matt Dickerson. It looked like he was getting the most of the snaps alongside Solomon. And when you start thinking about along those terms, that's not bad. And we haven't even mentioned Malcolm Kuntz. We haven't even mentioned Darius Filon, who I think is going to work his way into that rotation as well. We're now talking about 10, 11 guys. I mean, are they going to be able to run that many guys out there during the course of a game? Something has to give, especially when you start talking about building this roster and building your 53-man roster.
And that's what's funny is, you know, in doing my pre-camp 53-man roster, it was hard to get down to 9 guys on the defensive line, let alone have 10. And then where do you get that extra spot from? You know, oh, well, we'll have one fewer defensive back. No, you can't do that because you need bodies there. What about linebackers? Oh, well, you know, those guys, they got hurt a lot last year. Well, maybe we'll only take 2 quarterbacks instead of 3. John likes that 3 quarterbacks. It's going to be interesting to see exactly how it plays itself out. And usually, you know, it takes care of itself in the dog days of camp anyways, whether it's injury, whether it's disinterest, whether it's somebody just standing out. But the best way to put it is that it's probably a very, very good problem to have because when you have names like that, Solomon Thomas draft standing alone, you know, and he's motivated and he's ready to do something. It's a great problem actually to have because you got guys that want to be there, that want to play, very little attitude. And again, it's just about accepting roles and doing your job, which, you know, in covering this team forever, you know, I can hear Richard Seymour and Tommy Kelly in the locker room all the time. Man, guys have to just do their jobs, not worry about everybody else's. And that comes down to trust and familiarity. And with a rebuilt defensive line, that's what this camp is for them to get to know each other. And yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they got 10 guys up on game day.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Paul Gutierrez. You can follow him at P. Gutierrez ESPN. He does a fantastic job, always has, covering the Raiders and everything else that he's covered in his career. And I've followed him a long, long time. But when you talk about that good problem to have, you know, I don't want to knock guys that have been here in the past, but I remember maybe even last year during the 53, and it was pretty easy to discard guys. He's gone. Is that a sign, do you think, of progress of where John Gruden and Mike Mayock have gotten this roster?
Yeah, on one hand, absolutely. But you flip it to the other side to look at the other side of the coin, and it's like, well, they're starting over again. So unless they're getting results, it really doesn't matter. So at this point in time, right here, right now, yeah, it does show that, you know, the tougher it is to cut somebody, the better it is for your roster, the overall health, and the talent, right? So,
yeah, to answer your question, it is a positive right now because the bar is so low from last year anyways. I heard you earlier talking about how legitimately the Raiders were three plays away from being 11-5 and in the playoffs. But then on the flip side of that too, they were three defensive stands away that the defense actually stepped up and made plays from being 5-11. You know, the big game in L.A. against the Chargers when Isaiah made the big play in the end zone. You know, the stop they had against the Jets after the miracle touchdown there, and the stop they had in Carolina in the week one game. So these things usually even out, but it is going to be really interesting. Especially, to me, that's the most intriguing battle is on that defensive line because you got so many guys, so many names, and so many resumes.
It's funny when you were talking about, you know, how double-sided that is in terms of making the plays, not making the plays. They're three plays away from this, and they're also three plays away from being that. Yeah. You know, this is not – we covered, you know, USC during the heyday. We were there in Los Angeles. I think that's the one thing when the NFL got back to L.A. finally – after watching USC in their heyday just, you know, wallop teams left and right, you don't get that in the NFL. It literally – seasons are literally – that's what we're talking about, making a play and not making a play. That's the difference at this level. Yes, you're going to get times where it's just a bad New York Jet team or a bad Jacksonville Jaguar team, but even those teams – can give you a run for the money on any given Sunday. So it's making those plays more times than not. That's what the NFL comes down to. And as you look at this Raiders team, obviously they weren't in position, they weren't ready to make those plays last year. They haven't been for a while now. Are we getting to the point where maybe they're closing in on being that kind of a team where they can get it done?
Well, they better be, because that's what they're banking on, and that's what this new city is about. That's what this new stadium is about. That's why John Gruden probably has he does. He has the most job security in the NFL courtesy of that contract. But you also have to figure that, okay, if they do the same thing and they flame out again at the end, that seat's got to start getting a little warm. It should. And yet, you know, I've covered this team long enough to see them do two teardowns and two rebuilds, and now they're on the third teardown since, what, 2010? It's hard to watch from a fan perspective. You know, a lot of friends and family of mine are Raider fans, and it's like, okay, go get them next year. And then, you know, it's good for the Raiders in that they should be more competitive, and they did show they could compete last year, but the AFC West improved so much around them too that it's going to be nasty. It's going to be gnarly, and it's going to be what football's all about. So they've improved themselves. They put themselves in better position to succeed. So did the rest of the AFC West.
It's going to be interesting. The last thing I'll say is what kind of a role that stadium does play in that, because you're right. This is a tough division, and there's three good teams that are going to be coming into Allegiant Stadium in that division alone. I'm anxious to see, does that stadium play any kind of a role in lifting the Raiders and helping the Raiders? We've got a few weeks before we get to that point where we can finally figure that one out, and a few weeks before we can figure out what the heck happens with that defensive line and everywhere else. Paul will be all over it, as usual, and look forward to seeing you again bright and early tomorrow morning, Paul, 7:30 over at the practice facility in Henderson. Thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. I'll see you tomorrow, Paul.
Vinny Vidi Vici.
That's right. Coming back from Italy, too. So that sounds like music to my ears. That was Paul Gutierrez from ESPN, our good friend. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embotter.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignore.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you look at the guys that are there at the park training. It's the guys that are out there playing on Sundays. You know, it means something to them. So for to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday in the off season, you know, to beat the heat and get out there on the field, it shows a lot, you know, for how bad you want this.
That was new Raiders center Andre James speaking today to the media after day one of Raiders training camp. By the way, a couple of housekeeping items to get through. Theo Reddick and Jalen Richard, neither of whom was on the field today as the Raiders open practice for training camp. They both ended up on the COVID-19 list. We hope for the best for both players. You know, hate to even talk about this, but it is what it is. Jalen Richard has been a very vocal anti-vaccine dude on Twitter and social media. So, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate. And he's been pretty vocal about it. And it's just, I don't know, ironic, sad, whatever the case might be, that he ends up on the COVID-19 list the first day of training camp after kind of taking to social media to state his position. Everybody is entitled to that position, but obviously, whatever the choice is, there's repercussions, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And we hope for the best for Jalen and hope he's back to practice pretty soon. Kenyon Drake, who was on the field but not participating, kind of off to the side today, was put on the non-football injury list. But from what I'm told, doing some detective work behind the scenes, it's a very minor situation day to day. The target date for Kenyon's return is on Friday. So you'll have to wait a couple more days before you see Kenyon Drake, the new running back, out on the field with the Raiders. But it doesn't look like it's all that serious. So those are three moves that the Raiders made later on or later this afternoon after practice. So hope for the best for all three players. But it was an interesting day, to say the least, at camp in Henderson. I talked about, you know, the level of urgency or spiritedness that was on the field today. And it was in contrast to what we saw in OTAs. And it reminded me, because I was watching training camp today going, man, they're really getting after it. There weren't any pads or anything like that, but just the pace of it. From the minute those guys stepped on the field, it just looked like everything had been jacked up a couple of notches. And I just remember back to OTAs, which are very valuable, and there's no question about it. You know, Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, talking about the 2,000 reps that his defense got during OTAs. That's a good thing, learning things in the classroom, then applying it onto the field. But when you look at the pace there in OTAs compared to what it was today, and even today without pads, it's not 100%, but it was much, much faster, much more lively than it was in OTAs. And it was just a reminder that OTAs were somewhat watered down this year. Remember, there was a conversation that the players union, well, think about it. The Raiders themselves, the team, voted not to participate in the on-field version of OTAs this year. That was at the recommendation of their union, which wanted to basically eliminate OTAs after not having to do them last year. I think most players understood, no, we got to be out there. I mean, this is an important time of the year for team building, chemistry building, for guys getting better individually, guys that are trying to seize their opportunities to start, guys that are trying to push their way up the depth chart, guys that are just trying to win jobs as individuals. They're like, no, I want to be out there because that puts me in the best position possible to either earn a starting job, earn a roster spot, earn a practice squad spot, maybe catch somebody else's eye, whatever the case might be. Individually, players felt like, yeah, we need to be out here for the most part. But it came with a little bit of a catch. The Raiders, in spite of voting to not participate in OTAs privately as a team, also said, yeah, we are participating in OTAs. But the Raiders, like a lot of teams in the NFL, there was great communication between John Gruden and the team and other head coaches in the NFL and his players on saying, okay, how can we do this in a way that everybody is, you know, comes away a little bit happier than just not doing this? And one of the ways that they, outcomes that they came up with was, all right, we're just not going to push it full throttle. Let's kick that to the side. Let's just do more. Sean McVay used to always talk about this above the shoulder stuff. So you're out on the field, you have your helmet on, and you're going through football type activities, but you're not doing it at a, you know, hurried pace. You're curtailing that. And so at the time when we were watching OTAs, it's when that was the first time we had seen the team since, you know, practices in December. So, you know, you're kind of working your way back into it. Even as a reporter, you know, watching this. So while it seemed like they were going at a nice pace in OTAs, now when you watch them in training camp, you realize, no, they were going at a fairly slow pace, and you see the difference. And So to see it today and to see them getting after it today, and this is just the start, was kind of cool because football is back. That's the most important thing. But you're starting to see some of these young players, some of the new additions that the Raiders have brought in, really make their presence felt. And when we come back, you know, we're gonna talk about that a little bit more. We've also got Evan Grote from Just Blog Baby is going to join us as well to talk about some of the impressions that he had, some of the impressions that he had of what he heard players talking about. And a little bit later on in the show, want to get to Derek Carr and his impressions of what he notices on this defense. And rest assured, make no bones about it, Derek Carr needs that defense to step it up, period. He's not going to ever say that. That's not his place to do that. But for the Raiders to make the playoffs, for the Raiders to take that next step, the defense needs to get its act together. And he's keenly aware of that, and he's been keenly observing that defense, and in particular, new defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. It'll be interesting to hear what Derek had to say about Gus Bradley and about this defense. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajada.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.